What do you want to do? Leave this call? You want to quit? You want an easier life? You want to bail? Well, it's too late. God has got us, and He's not going to let us do anything that stupid as to get out of it when we're so close to the finish line. Now, here's what you could get out of, though. You could get out of the ruling and reigning position. How do you do that? Well, let me read this to you, and then I'll get on to other topics. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Faithful is the saying, for if we died together, and I've been telling you how all of humanity was considered to have died together with Christ. We realize it. And so justification is on us, and we enjoy its benefits. If we die together, we shall be living together also. Dying and living, very simple. What a contrast, dying and living. Simply living together with Christ. It's a great thing. And that's the thing you can't get out of. You cannot get out of living together with Christ. That is being in the body of Christ. Now here's a different thing starting out in verse 12. If we are enduring, we shall be reigning. This is different than if we died together. Because we died together in Christ 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died. That's when we were considered to have died with Christ. Obviously, you weren't there, you didn't make it, you can't break it. But this enduring thing, that's another matter. If we're enduring, we shall be reigning together also. Reigning, oh. So now we're talking about enduring and reigning. We were talking about dying and living. Those are broad strokes of the brush. Anyone who died together with Christ will be living together with Him. The rest of the world will live with eternity, for eternity with Him. We know that. But we who are given faith to become aware of this great death with Christ, we will live together with Him early. We come in early. Reigning, ruling and reigning is another thing. This calls for enduring. And that's what you're doing now. You're suffering with the evangel. You could give it up. You could. You could walk away from studying it, from watching these videos, from caring about it, from talking about it, because it's just so stinking hard, and you can walk away from that. And you could be disowned from reigning. This is why I say that, because Paul says it. If we're enduring, we shall be reigning together. If we are disowning, He will also be disowning us. But the context is enduring. We're talking about disowning the whole endurance thing, walking away from it. It's too hard. The sayings of Christ are too difficult, and I'm going to get into that in the Gospel of John. We're getting out of here. If we're disowning, He will be disowning us. If we're disowning, He will be disowning us for ruling and reigning, not overall life membership in the body of Christ because of this. If we are disbelieving, He is remaining faithful. Why? He can't disown Himself. That's a scripture quote. He can't disown Himself. You're part of His body. How can He disown Himself? No matter what you do, no matter how you screw up, no matter if you said, I'm tired of declaring this, of studying it, of thinking about it, it's wearing me down, I just want to go join the world, I want to sell Coca-Cola, I just want to go on an island, lay on a hammock, and just forget about all this. You can do that. You're still in the body of Christ. Not so much ruling and reigning, because that comes with endurance, keeping your neck under the yoke of declaring it, studying it, staying with it, suffering with it. But Jesus Christ, His disciples came to a crisis. Many people stopped following Jesus Christ when He started saying difficult things. This is what God does. He does difficult things. It's a test. He wants to see, not that He needs to find out, but it's a demonstration to the world, to the people themselves. Who's going to follow Me? I'm going to make it tough for you. I'm putting it out there, and let's see who dares to follow Me. This is what I'm talking about. Jesus said in John 6:51, if anyone should be eating of this bread, he shall be living for the eon. Now the bread also which I shall be giving for the sake of the life of this world is My flesh. So He's comparing His flesh to bread. The Jews then fought with one another, saying, how then can this one give us flesh to eat. See, he starts talking about his flesh. And he says that. I'm talking about my flesh. You must eat my flesh. And the Jew says, how can anybody eat his flesh? Kind of like Nicodemus saying, concerning Jesus saying, you must be born again. How can a man enter his mother's womb a second time? Why doesn't Jesus Christ just say simple things, easy to understand? Why doesn't he just smooth things over? Why doesn't he make it like a Disneyland, nice simple things? No, he's got to make it difficult. He has to purposely mistranslate to our day now. He mistranslates certain words in the Bible, so we have to look stupid trying to say, well, you see, that translation's wrong. Oh, how do you people know that translation's wrong? Well, you need a concordance. Oh, so now you got to bring another tool in, and by that time you look like an idiot, and people think you're stretching. No, I'm not stretching. Gumby and Pokey, they stretch. Stretch Armstrong stretches. This is not a stretch, it's a scriptural fact. But God makes it difficult. We start looking like idiots, and people say, oh, so all the Greek scholars are wrong about the word Ionian. And you're right. Ionian doesn't mean eternal. And then God does the brilliant thing of calling himself the Ionian God, which people say, well, it has to be eternal there, because we all know God's eternal, and we have to explain, no. It's not trying to tell you God's eternal in that passage. It's trying to say that he goes with you through time. He, of course, he's eternal. His years have no end. That's in another passage of scripture. This verse is giving us specific information. All these explanations we have to do, and you can get tired of it, and you can say, I give up, it's too hard. But you need to understand this. I'm giving you a big secret here, a big clue. God does this on purpose to see who will stay. Who will stay with them through this difficulty, through this trial? And it gives you a headache, honestly. It's another thing that could drive you to drink. Anyway, Jesus said, the Jews fought, saying, how can anybody give his flesh to eat? Jesus then said, verily, verily, I'm saying to you. Yeah, he doesn't just say, listen. No, he has to say, verily, verily, I am saying to you. So he gets all Shakespeare. He's not talking normally. And he does that to drive people away and to just see, who are the hardcores who are going to stick with me here? Jesus said, verily, verily, I am saying to you, if you should not be eating the flesh of the Son of Mankind and drinking his blood. Drinking his blood. That really messed up a lot of people, as we're going to see. You have not Aeonian life in yourselves. He who is masticating my flesh. Of course, the concord makes it masticating. It's not just swallow it. Like, you know, they did in the Andes, the survivors of the plane crash, the rugby team, they had to cannibalize their friends to survive, so they just kind of choked down the meat. No, Jesus says, you can't just eat my flesh, you have to masticate it, you have to chew it. Chew it. And then drink my blood. Difficult saying. He was masticating, and he says it over and over again. Just mention it once and go on to another topic. Let's start talking about coconut meat or something. No, no, no. Gotta keep going on with the masticating here. Well, listen to this. He was masticating my flesh and drinking my blood as life Aeonian, and I shall be raising him in the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Then he says it again in verse 56. He was masticating my flesh and drinking my blood is remaining in me, and I am him. And I in him. Then he says it again in verse 57. I also am living because of the Father. And he who is masticating me, he who's eating me, chewing me, whoever is chewing me, he also will be living because of me. This is the bread which descends out of heaven, not according as the fathers ate and died. Not like the bread Moses ate. Not like the manna in the wilderness. No. He was masticating this bread. Shall be living for the eon. These things he said, teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Here it is, verse 60. Many of his disciples then, hearing it, said, hard is this saying. They said, this is crazy talk. That's the Zender paraphrase. Now Jesus, being aware in himself that his disciples are murmuring concerning this, said to them, this is snaring you? Are you having problems with this? If then you should be beholding the Son of Mankind ascending where he was formerly? And again, he's speaking very strangely, not like a normal person would speak. The Spirit is that which is vivifying. The flesh is not benefiting anything. That's a good sentence. The flesh is not benefiting anything. That's on the nose. The declarations which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who are not believing. Well, you're making it kind of tough, Jesus. And who it is that gives him up. And he said, therefore have I declared to you, no one can be coming to me if ever it should not be given him of the Father. That's true. That's a true statement. Because unless the Father gave it to somebody to have faith, he was driving people off. At this then, many of his disciples came away, dropping behind, and walked no longer with him. Jesus then said to the 12, not you also are wanting to go away? So everybody's leaving him with this, chew me, chew my flesh, drink my blood. This is a hard saying, it says here in the Bible, verse 60 of John 6. Jesus, the disciples are the only ones left. Everybody's leaving. They liked it better when he was feeding them in the wilderness. Jesus said to his disciples, are you going to leave too? And here it is. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we come away? Declarations of life aeonian have you. And we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. To whom shall we go? Do you also want to leave? Who are we going to go to? You have words of aeonian life. Nobody else has it. This is a very interesting statement. Where are we going to go? You want to leave? I'm talking to you watching this video. Do you want to leave? Because it's too hard? Do you want to get away from this? Because God puts you in a position of an underdog? Because God makes you force the big rock uphill? Because you're going against all the Greek scholars who say that eternal torment is true, or all the philosophers that say human free will is true? You're going against the multi-million dollar churches, all these things. Are you going to leave too? Many people stumble at this. This is a hard saying. It's a hard saying. You know what a hard saying is? God's the savior of all humanity. That's a hard saying because it goes against the grain of everything. Another hard saying is, there's no such thing as free will. Here's another hard saying. Death is the absence of life. I just found out that someone who has been a longtime correspondent with me doesn't really believe that death is the absence of life. Because this is a hard saying, that the dead do not live. That's a hard saying. Are you going to go away? Where are we going to go? That's exactly right. Where are you going to go? Buddha doesn't have the words of aeonian life. Muhammad doesn't have the words of aeonian life, life that endures for the ages. The myriad gods of the Hindu religion, they don't have words of aeonian life. Only one has the words of aeonian life. And they are difficult words, and the walk is difficult. But where else are you going to go? Are you going to take solace in the world? What does that have to offer you? Pain, frustration, failure, misery? I know you suffer some of these things with this walk. But look at the precedent. Jesus is giving us this example of the disciples. Probably, are you guys going to leave me too? Everybody else left. What about you? What about my hardcores? You, my listeners, my viewers today, you're the hardcores of Paul. You're the stayers. You're the remainers. Are you going to leave too? Where are you going to go? And the disciples said, and this is comforting in a way, they said, you have words of aeonian life. That's what they wanted. They knew that there was such value in that, and then in that if they left, they would be screwing themselves out of a great reward. And this is why we have this account in the scriptures. We see that these 12 will be the future rulers of the earth. When Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, he will raise those 12 disciples who stuck with him. Even though the sayings got hard, even though it got completely unpopular, it was real popular when he was multiplying the loaves and the fishes. Yeah, everybody wanted a piece of the action then. But then when he starts saying, hey, forget eating fish and eating bread. You have to eat me. You have to drink my blood. No, they left. This is too weird. It's getting weird. I knew a girl who, this was years ago, she She didn't mind following Christ as long as she didn't have to look weird doing it. She wanted just wanted to fit in, right? She wanted to be accepted, and she always looking at her compact, you know, checking her hair, and just everything was about looking good. And she just couldn't look stupid. No. Yes, sing with the choir at the Wednesday night service? Sure. Drive the buyers and the sellers from the temple with a homemade whip? Haha, no thank you. Don't want any part of that. Don't want any part of making people uncomfortable, of upsetting people, of upsetting the apple cart. No. But those who stay with that crazy stuff, these will be the champions. I'm just thinking of a sign that I used to see at the high school gym where my kids went to school. It was in the weight room, and it said, "Those who stay will be champions." Where else you gonna go? Seriously, where else you gonna go? I know it's tough, but Jesus and Paul have words that belong to life aeonian that will ensure you of such glory. And there's some kind of a little bit of self-interest there with the disciples. Where else are we going to go? You have words of aeonian life and we want those. There's a little bit of self-interest there, and that's fine. That's legit. Even Jesus Christ had self-interest. Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. There's a little self-interest there. We're going to stay with the winner. We want the glory. We're in this for something. We're not just in it to this isn't a hobby. This isn't something that we don't care what happens. No, we care very much what happens. We want to be in on the life that Jesus has. And he's the only one that has it. His words given us through Paul are the only words that belong to aeonian life. Once you're in it, you can't escape it. But I'm asking you, inviting you to do more, to stay with it to the bitter end. Don't worry about pushing the ball uphill. Don't worry about the opposition, because in the end, it's going to be worth it. Times about 100, maybe 1,000.